Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Our subject today is understanding the times. Now, that's really important. You know what's going on around you, and why is it happening the way it's happening? So, once again, this is our subject. It's on how to understand the times, how to understand what's going around us. Now, in order to get started, we want to go to the scriptures. And before we do that, though, I want to challenge you to do something parallel to the teaching today. I'm going to present to you from scripture some scenarios. I want you in your mind's eye, while you view these scriptures and come to understand them, how that might apply to the present national situation, the environment in which you live. So, here we go. Understanding the times. Now, this is about the children of Issachar. And what's interesting about these is that they were men that had understanding of the times. They knew what was going on. Why is it important to know what's going on? And the answer is found right in this scripture. So they knew what Israel ought to do. The reason you want to know what's going on is so you'll know how to respond, how to react, exactly what to do. So get your pen and paper ready and make sure you take these notes down, because this is what we want to study today, how to understand the time. So number one, here we go. God is concerned about the national situation entirely. In fact, let's take a look at the scripture. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen, those who are not followers of God. He brings their ideas, look at this now, to zero, to nothing. And he makes the devices of the people, everything they intend to do, non-effective. In other words, it turns into a zero. So watch here now. The counsel of the Lord, however, in opposition, diametrically opposed to the counsel of the wicked, it stands forever. Now, before we move on, let's make sure we understand this competition that's going on between the ideas of those who are not followers of God and those who are followers of God. They are diametrically, and yeah, I would even say diabolically, opposed to one another, and they have entirely a different set of results and ramifications. Now, I want to go back to the scripture and let you see this once again for a moment. Look at this now. Because God's thoughts are to all generations. So these ideas that I'm bringing to you now from the scripture do not just apply to ancient Israel or Greece or the Roman Empire or the Constantine Empire or anything else in history. It applies equally. His ideas are to every generation. Let's go back now to look at the scripture. It says, blessed are the people. Now watch this, because this is so important. Remember this competition of ideas. Those who are not followers of God versus those who are followers of God. And here is the result. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, is the boss, is ruling. His ideas are predominant. Blessed is that nation that has the God ideas in charge of it. In fact, they are a people who follow his ideas, whom he has chosen for an inheritance. In other words, it's going to go on, and it's going on forever. And then the scripture concludes with this remarkable statement. The Lord, in real time, right now, is looking down from heaven, and he is looking at all the sons of men. Now, I think, methinks this is, in some ways, a scary idea. Can you imagine this? That God is watching you. And in fact, one scripture said, thou seest me, O God. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of jerks the slack out of me. God's watching everything I do. And this is, by the way, is what we call, as you'll see in a moment, the fear of the Lord, is the realization that God is watching everything I think, every motive of my heart, and every action that I take. He is observing it. That, see, it changes behavior when you know that. For example, if a policeman sees you while you're in a store about to reach over in the counter and take something that doesn't belong to you and tuck it into your coat, but you see the policeman watching you or the manager watching you or an employee watching you, their observation of you will change your behavior. And you don't steal what you intended to steal because you're being watched. This, my friends, is the fear of the Lord. He's watching everything you and I do. Now, let's go back to the scripture again. From the place of his habitation, wherever he dwells, he looks down upon all the inhabitants, not just the leaders, but everybody is under observation. How can he do that? Because he's God. He's smart. I mean, if you could take a PET scan, if you could scan his brain, which you probably can't do, but you would see inside the mind of God yourself. You'd be there. You would be there. How many times would you be there? David tells us that in the book of Psalms, doesn't he? See, thy thoughts to me are more in number than the sands and the seas. Ah. Omniscience. We're talking about omnipotence. We're talking about a God without limits. He looks down and he sees the inhabitants of the earth, all of them. And he fashioned their hearts alike. And look at this now. Don't ever forget this. He considers all their works. He knows exactly what's going on. That's why, if you want to understand the times, then we need to understand that God's the only one who can really give us the full picture, because he knows it all. Remarkable. Now, again, our main point right now is that God is concerned about nations, So let's just take another look at Scripture. All the ends of the world shall ultimately remember, and they shall turn unto the Lord. Ultimately, the conclusion of the matter, right? And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee, eventually. Huh? But that's not what's going on right now. For the kingdom of God, the kingdom is the Lord's. I mean, this is all his doing. And now watch this. He is the governor among the nations. He has the ability to control everything that's going on. Although, obviously, quite frequently, and most of the time, he lets us do what we're going to do. Why would he do that? Probably because he wants us to see the consequences of whatever it is we do. You see, that's why when it comes to democracy, there are only two pillars to democracy: virtue and intelligence. And if either of these two cease to exist, democracy cannot survive. Whenever the culture loses virtue, loses character, and loses intelligence, the demise is imminent. It's on the way. Now, here's the real problem, is that when we lose virtue, and that is we leave the ways of God and the ways, and we go to the ways of wickedness, it damages thinking. So if you lose virtue, you also lose intelligence. We're going to learn more of that in the time to come. But let's go back now to the screen and take a look. Because the nations, this is not a big deal to God. The nations, look at this, to him, they're like a drop in the bucket. This is not a big deal, but he's observing. And they are counted as small dust in the balance. And even he takes up the isles as a very little thing, not a very big deal, because God actually knows what's going on. That's the big picture. Now, that's the question for you now. Is our nation following the ways of God or not? And how shall we know the difference? Remember, this blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's look at this scripture. Let the nations be glad. He wants them happy. And he wants them singing for joy. Look at this now. For God shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. If they will follow his government, they are going to be glad and they're going to be singing for joy. But if they leave his government, it's a different consequences. God shall bless us. Look at this now. And then all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Why is this so important? It's because the fact is that God wants the nations blessed. He wants you whole. He wants you healthy. He wants you virtuous. He wants you to be able to love your neighbor and be loved by your neighbor. He wants everything to go right. That's why blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, watch with me the screen because this is really quite frightening. And here is the truth. Hellishness breaks out in nations that forget God. If a culture leaves behind God, hellishness breaks out. Check the scripture. The wicked, who are they? Those who do not follow God. They shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now, watch where this scripture actually comes on the tail end of, but here's a scripture that comes before it. The heathen, that's those who are not followers of God, right? They are sunk down in the pit that they have made. Whoa. See, evil is not sustainable. Evil is self-destructive. Every flavor of it is self-destructive. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they have made with their evil. Look at this now. And in the net, they're trapped in the net which they have hit. Their own foot is taken. They are trapped in the very thing that they are doing wrong. The Lord, on the other hand, look at this now, is known by the judgment which he executes, the adjudication. Watch this now, because if you follow and you live your life according to the adjudications of God, the judgments of God, my, what a blessing. He's known by that. In contrast, the wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. I'm going to underline that again because I don't want you to miss it. The wicked, those who are not followers of God, are snared in the work of their own hands. And then it says, Higgion Selah. What does that mean? Higgion means this is the time to really contemplate. It's a pause in the music. Whoa, let's not go much farther. You really need to think about this. And the word Selah means forever. Now it comes to the conclusion in this verse. The wicked, those who refuse to follow the Lord, will be turned into hell. And the whole, look at this, how many nations? All the nations that forget God, all of them that forget God, I'm telling you, hellishness breaks out in that culture. In a nation that forgets God. Because here's the problem. When somebody forgets God, they forget everything that God teaches, everything that he stands for, everything he represents. And consequently, there's devastation. Now, I faced a quandary here at this point because I really wanted to know whether I should go farther, give you more details or not, or be short. And I'm not known for being short. You know, they don't call us the everlasting gospel for nothing, like some preacher said, you know. So I'm going to give you some more details. And so watch the screen. Watch the screen with me now. Here's what happens if you forget God. If you despise my statutes, the rules, the plan of how you should live your life, watch this. Or if your soul abhors my adjudications about things, God says something is wrong and sinful and is damaging the way of the transgressor is heart, and you might disagree with him, and if you do, if you abhor his decision about things, look at this, so that you do not do all the commandments and you break the covenant relationship with me. Look at this now. I will do this to you. This is what's going to happen. I will appoint over you terror. He doesn't have to do very much. He doesn't have to do very much because when we depart from God and say, I don't want you, God. I don't want your Bible. I don't want your Ten Commandments. Get out of my life. And get out of my culture. Don't bother the rest of my friends with your rules. And we abhor his judgments. The consequences, look at this now, are terror, consumption, burning of the egg, and it shall consume your eyes. Look at this now. And you will have sorrow, heart. You'll sow your seed in vain. I don't know for sure. I suspect, though, it's about the seed of your body, your children. The children are going to suffer. They will, you'll not only have sorrow in heart, but you shall sow your children in vain, and the enemies shall consume the children. And I will set my face against you. You do not want God against you. You really need to get this. You do not want God as your opponent. You want him as your friend. You want him as close to you as possible. Because the benefits are, in fact, very intense. Look at now to the scripture. I will, watch it. You abhor my judgments. I'll set my face against you. You do not want God against you. And look what happens. He's not going to help you anymore. And you will be slain before your enemies. That's not just other nations, but it's the enemies of your soul. But it could be other people as well. And watch it. They that hate you shall reign over you. And watch this now, because paranoia is the next thing that happens. You shall flee when nobody's pursuing you. These are the consequences of hellishness that breaks out. Watch now. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. Now, why would God punish you 7 times more? The answer to that lies in understanding this, that there are 2 ways to learn. You either learn by instruction or by experience. I want to recommend instruction. For example, if you want to know what it's like to jump off the Empire State Building, I suggest you do not want to experience it. You want to learn from instruction or watch somebody else do it. I guess. I can't imagine that. Not entertainment by any imagination. So a child that is loved by a parent does wrong is to be explained to and punished. And if he still doesn't respond, it gets more punishment. So what's behind any punishment that comes from God? It's done because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Right? Chastens, see? So look what he says. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. I'm going to break the pride of your power. I'm going to break the pride of your power. Look at this. Your strength will be spent in vain. Look at here now. Your land shall not yield her increase. Your trees shall not yield their fruit. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues. Oh my, haven't you had enough of that already? I will bring you 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will send wild beasts upon you, which, again, back in history, will rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highs shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things after the punishment. See, we disobey, we get punished, and we still don't learn, okay? And you still watch this. And if you will not be reformed by me by these punishments, but will walk contrary to me, whoa, watch now, then will I also be contrary to you. And I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. Now, at first take, that might seem to you to be not very nice. But if we understand this properly, we're going to go the wrong way and the damage is going to be immense. Like if you were running towards a precipice edge and somebody trying to warn you, and you didn't heed their warning. You warn them again, and you warn them again, and finally you push them in the opposite direction. All of that opposition that they're giving to you is for your own good, to save your own life. And the truth is, it gets worse with what he says. I will bring a sword upon you. I shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you're gathered together within your cities, watch out now, watch out. I will send pestilence among you. Pestilence. Viruses. There's a pestilence. I'll let pestilence come upon you. Now watch the result of this. And you will be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Probably the country, the nation, the people, the culture that brought the pestilence to you. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake bread. You shall eat, look at this now, you shall eat, but you'll not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary to me, then I'll keep walking contrary to you because you're going the wrong way. And I, God says, am a force for your good. And I will walk contrary you in fury. And I, look at this, even I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. It's the only way to get people to quit sin. That's the purpose of chastisement. Now it gets worse. I told you, our main point here now is that hellishness breaks out in a country, a nation, or a culture that forgets all about God. I'm not going to do the God thing anymore. Because look what happens. It damages your children. Look at here now. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And now, here it is, albeit an ancient language. You'll kill your children. The damage, the hellishness, is so great that it would have felt your children. And it gets worse. Watch with me now. Watch this now. I will destroy your high places. I will cut down your images. Seen any of that going on lately? Seen any of the monuments that we once esteemed now falling? And I will cast your carcasses upon the carcass of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And watch this. I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries, even the churches, into desolation. Hellishness. You take a moment now with these scriptures and do a contemplation of what's going on around you in your nation, in your country, in your culture. What's happening right now? And decide whether or not hellishness is really breaking out. I think you'll conclude it is. And if it is, it's because we have forgotten God, everything he stands for, every principle he represents, and now we got the consequences. This should help you understand the times that you're living in and come to know what you ought to do. Now, I want to take this farther to this idea of how God deals with nations. Because however the legal system goes, that's the way the culture is going to go. God says so. Look at this. God says, look at this now. He that ruleth over men must be just. Look at this now. Ruling in the fear of God. You know, real soon we're going to spend time dealing with the subject of developing moral intelligence. At the legal level, watch this now. God says the only way a legal system can work is that those who are in the seats of judgment, the judges, have to be just. And look at this, they must rule in the fear of God. Remember, we talked about that a moment ago. They must make decisions that are just, and they must do it with the understanding that God is watching every adjudication they make. And they will be held accountable to God one day for whether or not they ruled properly. Now look at this. And God said to the judges, watch this now. Take heed what you do. Because, you see, the only one who should be judging is God. He's the only one truly qualified. But earthly judges, watch this now. Take heed what you do, because you judge not for man, but for the Lord. In other words, judges represent God. So their adjudication must be the same as God's. Now, watch this. Ruling in the fear of God. Now watch this. They judge not for man, but they judge for God. And this is remarkably wonderful. God, who is with you on the bench, helping you to align your decision, your adjudication, not only that it be just, but God's watching. And he wants to help make the right decisions. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you, you judges. All right. Take heed and do it. There is no iniquity, inequity with the Lord, nor, now watch this, and there's no respect of persons. Judge must not favor one person over another at any time for any reason. And look at this. No taking of gifts. No bribery whatsoever. And so God charged in saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord. Now watch this now. Faithfully. Not just once in a while, but with a perfect heart, with a perfect motive. That's how judges are to rule. If the legal system goes south, the culture goes south, law breaks down, order is destroyed. Now, I don't want you to miss this next sentence. A law without a penalty is merely advice. Well, I want you to contemplate that one. A rule or a law that has no penalty to it is just advice. And thus lawlessness occurs because we set the law, but there's no penalty. It's just advice. So people can take it or leave it any way they wish to, and that's just not the way it's supposed to be. Now, I don't want to leave this subject, and let's look at another scripture about this. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people. Now, here's the qualification for judges. They must have ability. They must be able men, okay? Next, they must fear God. They must be aware that they are going to be accountable to God for every motive, everything they say, every action, every adjudication, every judgment that they make in that courtroom. And look at this now. They must be men of truth. Watch now. Well, that's important. But they must hate covetousness. Hate covetousness, the desire of what everybody else has. And God instructs them, place such kind of men over them to be your rulers. How the legal system goes is how the nation goes. Never forget that. Because of the legal system, all that hellishness that we talked about, because you forget God, what happens when the judges forget God? So what becomes the rule of action? What becomes the standard by which adjudication is made? I want to suggest to you that nobody but God and what God stands for as taught by his Son to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. No other rule of law is adequate to judge people. Now, in addition to God caring about the legal system of a nation, God also cares about the moral condition of a people. Watch here now. I remember the cities of Scotland. I'm not going to spend much time on this because you know the story, I'm sure. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were so immoral, and they were turned into ashes, and they were condemned with an overthrow. Now, I don't want you to miss this. Making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? It's destruction. It's perversion. Everything went with that. And it's going to happen. Because look at this. Look at this again. This is an example. So we should learn. Nations are also going to be judged by their morals. And Sodom and Gomorrah is the classic case. Let's look at another thing. A nation cannot be divided against itself. There must be some basis of solidarity. Watch with me now. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. It's true of every city and of every house divided against itself shall not stand. Oh, I remember I started this time together, and by the way, I hope you're enjoying being with me in my study. I started this by asking you to do something really important. To take what we see here from the Bible and see and adjudicate for yourself its applicability to our nation, to your nation, to our culture, to your culture. A country, a kingdom, a city divided against itself is facing desolation. Ask yourself, is the polarization that's going on in this country right now unresolved, according to this scripture, is going to bring desolation, destruction? It cannot stand. We've been there. I think we were there once before. It was called the Civil War. When the two sides cannot compromise sufficiently to come together, and the animosity builds and strengthens, it's bound to blow up. So what does it all come down to now? We talked about God caring for the nations. We've talked about the things that, when you forget God, there's going to be destruction. We talked about the legal system and now the moral condition of the people. And this now is what we must understand, is that the future of nations is going to be determined by the people. That's why you're important. I'm going to come back to scripture in a moment. We tend to think, because there's so many of us, that each of us is not important, but believe me, you really are. And you're on one side or the other, God's side or do away with God's side. That's the dividing issue. That's what divides the court. They're going to follow God or they're going to make up their own thing. Humanism is going to take over versus godliness. Okay, that's the question. I want you not to forget, though, how important you are. So let's go back to the scripture. At what instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, what to do with it? To pluck it up, to pull it down, and to destroy it? If this is a really big, small word, isn't it? If the hinge upon which the gates of heaven swing. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. So God is going to react to the condition of the people. And the people know that this destruction is coming, but if they'll change their mind, then God will change his mind about the destruction. Oh my goodness. Now look at this. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and in this condition concerning a kingdom And I'm going to build it up, and I'm going to plant it. I'm going to really make it a great people. If I speak concerning making a nation, a culture, a great people, to build it up and to plant it. Now, okay? If that nation instead does evil in my sight and obey not my voice, then I will change my mind about what good I was going to do and the benefit that I said I would do to them. So you see, God, and probably sometime real soon, we should spend some time comprehending God's strategy in human history. But here's part of it. God is interactive. If you do this, I'll do that. If you don't do that, I won't do this. So the future of your culture, of this nation, depends on you, the people. Because if you say you do right, but you do wrong, then he won't do the good. But if you're already on the wrong track and you change your mind and start to do what's right, God says, he'll not do the evil to you, but he'll build you and he'll plant you. My, isn't that delightful? So, this brings us to the conclusion that we must get to now, and that is this. That is our role as true Christians. I'm talking about authentic Christians, not fake, not pretend, not hypocrites, right? The real thing. How do you know the real thing? Isn't that a good question? How do you know the real thing? How do you know a real Christian? Jesus gave us the test, didn't he? He said, by this shall all men know. Everybody will know. You're my disciples if you have love. That's the proof. Let's look at this now. Our role as Christians is vital right now in our culture. Here's why. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, its ability to function as salt, how will it be salted? We're talking about the earth. Now watch this now. It is thenceforth, look at this now, it is good for nothing. Ooh. Christians that pretend but aren't the real thing are good for nothing. Watch this now. They're good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Because we're to function as salt. But in addition to this, Jesus comes along and he says, you're the light of the world. You are the light. You're going to show them the right way to go. And like a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Look at this. And you don't light a candle and put it under something so nobody can see it, but you put it on a candlestick so it giveth light to all that are in the house. That's it now. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Obviously, from these scriptures, you are really important. If you function, if we function, this is the culture. I think you've done it while I've been through this teaching, haven't you? Showing you the analogy. You have seen the comparison, the tearing down, the coming of viruses and all the stuff that's going on, the polarization within the country, side against side. And ultimately that division is good against evil. It's God's way or our way, one of the two. You've seen all that. But what now becomes really important is you and me. And you may think you cannot make a difference, but God says you're the salt and God says you're the light. Now, I want to take you to one closing passage of Scripture known to a lot of people, but I'm going to take you past the front end, show you the back end, so you get it all. Here's what God says. If my people, the ones that are called by my name, Christian, now watch four things. If they shall humble themselves. Number two, if they will pray. Number three, if they will seek my face. And if they will turn from their wicked ways, the ways that are not the way I instructed. Look what God says he'll do. Then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin. And look at this now. I don't want you to miss this. I'm going to heal their land. Now, most people who go to the scripture stop there. But I want you to see the rest of it. Watch with me. Now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears shall attend to the prayer that is made in this place. God's going to be listening. Whoa. For now have I chosen, and I've sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there, God says, perpetually. Now watch this now. Let's go back here just for a moment. If we humble ourselves, if we pray, if we seek his face, if we turn from our wicked ways, he's going to heal our land. But not only that, but look at this. My name will be there. Mine eyes and my heart shall be there with that people perpetually. I'm not going to back down now, because you've done what it takes as a people to change the culture, to change the nation, because you understand the times and now you know what we ought to do. Humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. And God says that if we do that, look at here now, his eyes are going to be on us, and his heart shall be with us perpetually. Now here's the bad news. It's not the bad news. Throw another verse away, thank goodness. But as for thee, if thou walk before me as David walked, and do according to all his commanded, and if you will, this is important, observe the statutes and keep my adjudications of what's right and wrong and how you should treat people, etc., then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom, thy nation. This is going to, something good's going to happen in Capitol Hill. Just like I did with David. And look at this. Watch what will happen. There shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel, in America, in North America, in Africa, in Europe, in Asia, in Australia, in South America. Do you see this now? I don't want you to miss this. This is so vitally important. Because God is saying that if we respond this right way, this culture and this nation can be changed so much so. Now, let's go back and take a look at that scripture. There will not fail thee a man to be ruler. Something going to happen good to every congressman. Every senator, every president, every cabinet member, every governor of a state, every mayor of a city, there shall not fail thee the right kind of a person to be the leader. So as we, the people, go, So goes the nation, and so goes the leadership, the rulers. Now here's the bad news. Here it goes. But if you turn away, you don't do what we've just learned. If you forsake my statutes and my commandments, because I've set them before you, and you shall serve other gods, the god of self, the god of you name it, and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified of my name, and I will cast them out of my sight instead of God's eyes being fixed on us. And look at this. And I will make it a proverb, to be a proverb and a byword among all the other nations, are going to point their finger now. And this house, which is high, shall be now on the spot. Look what happened to America. Look what happened to that culture. Look what happened to that nation. And everybody that passed by is going to, so they say, why hath the Lord done this to the land and unto this house? Now watch this, because here's the answer. Because they forsook the Lord God. Everything comes down to you and me. To understand the times, to understand the results that we see in front of us come from the forsaking and getting God out of our culture, out of the Supreme Court, out of the laws of the land, get rid of God. And take a look, and now you understand the times. But the purpose of understanding the times is to know what we ought to do. And that's what this teaching is really about. So let us humble ourselves and pray. Seek His face. Turn from our wicked ways. Keep every statute and every commandment. And if we do, remember that scripture? There will not fail one man to be the right kind of ruler in your country. I hope this has been helpful to you. I want you to understand that God wants you to understand the times and know exactly what you ought to do.